Good morning. It's September 5th and the time is 8 o'clock. This is regional news for the Western Slope. I'm Travis Bubenik. Colorado Secretary of State Scott Gessler announced yesterday that Initiative 22, the move to increase income taxes to help fund public schools, will appear on the November ballot. In a press release, Gessler's office said supporters of the measure had gathered nearly 90,000 valid petition signatures, about 4,000 more than required for the question to be put on the ballot. Barring any successful protests, the initiative is now set to go before voters this November as Amendment 66. According to the Denver Post, the tax increase would raise around $950 million for education funding. An initial random sampling of the signatures by Gessler's office found the rate of valid signatures to be just below what's required for any measure to get on the ballot. That finding led to a line-by-line review of the signatures and delayed the approval process to yesterday, which was the legal deadline for the state to make its decision. The Post reports that despite the delay, supporters of the tax increase have already begun promoting Amendment 66. The law would create a two-level state income tax and is projected to bring in nearly $1 billion to public schools. According to the Post, that money would fund programs like full-day kindergarten and half-day preschool, and would also go to programs for at-risk students and students learning English. The measure has been primarily supported by the Colorado Commits to Kids Committee, which raised over $500,000 in campaign finances this month. Amendment 66 has also gathered large donations from the Colorado Education Association. According to the Post, groups opposed to the measure so far haven't raised much money. This fall's guidebook for Colorado voters is ready to be printed and mailed. Lawmakers don't approve what's written in the blue book, but they can change the language, and that's what some tried to do on Wednesday. Benta Berkland has more.
Discussion focused on a proposed $1 billion income tax increase for K-12 schools. Republicans, including Senate Minority Leader Bill Cabman of Colorado Springs, offered several amendments, saying the wording didn't show the tax increase's true costs.
I think we have a responsibility to make sure that all the facts are borne as clearly and concisely as they can be to the taxpayer so they can make an educated decision.
But Democrats struck down most of the proposals. In addition to the education tax, voters statewide will also decide a measure to tax recreational marijuana. Democratic Senate Majority Leader Morgan Carroll of Aurora says it's necessary for enforcement.
Failure to do so means we would be taking funds from other places like K-12 higher education, so obviously it needs its own funding source to pay for it.
The excise and sales tax have wide bipartisan support. About 2 million blue books will be sent to voters in the coming weeks. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
The debate over how or whether the U.S. should respond to the alleged use of chemical weapons by the Syrian government continues as lawmakers from Colorado lay out their opinions on the issue. According to the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel, Republican Representative Scott Tipton said that President Obama should wait to act until Congress can fully debate the matter in both houses. Tipton added that military action should be a last resort, but did say the use of chemical weapons in Syria should face what he calls serious consequences. U.S. Senator Mark Udall, meanwhile, called for the president to spell out his specific goals to Congress. As a member of the Senate Armed Services and Intelligence Committees, Udall called on the Obama administration to lay out its exact military objectives before engaging in any attack. The Sentinel reports that Senator Michael Bennett also cautioned against hasty action, outlining the complicated nature of the region and highlighting the reality of what he called a military already stretched thin. Tipton was one of 116 lawmakers that signed a letter to President Obama last week saying that they would be willing to reconvene and reassess the U.S.'s role in the Syrian conflict if the president decides military action is necessary. The Delta County Independent reports that electric, water, sewer, and trash rates are on the rise in the city of Delta. The typical resident is expected to pay about an extra $12 per month for utilities this year. The rate increases were revealed during budget discussions for this year. The city of Delta is set to continue those talks through September and to deliver a draft budget for 2014 in October. The city's increase in electricity rates stems from Mean, the city's provider, instituting their own 10% rate increase this year. Mean has also warned of another 10% increase next April. According to the Independent, the four utilities seeing rate increases pay accounting and administration fees and franchise fees to the city's general fund. A unique weather phenomenon earlier this month affected people in northwestern Africa, the U.S. eastern coast, and even Houston, Texas. For this week's IC Change Report, I looked into the event and what it might tell us about environmental changes here on the Western Slope and perhaps even around the world. In late July, a massive dust storm in the Saharan Desert of Africa moved across the Atlantic, making for an interesting start to the hurricane season, or you could say a boring one. All that dust in the air essentially acted like a shield, fending off the sun and keeping the ocean cooler, which in turn has kept tropical storms from growing into hurricanes. This August is actually on track to be the first without an Atlantic hurricane since 2002. Though that's probably good news to people along the Gulf Coast, dust storms at their origins can be severely destructive. Southeastern Coloradans have been learning that lesson the hard way recently, with an unusually high amount of dust storms hitting an area east of Pueblo this month and all but destroying the wheat industry in that part of the state.
The most common thing we hear is, yeah, what's going on with all these dust storms? You know, I grew up here and I never saw, you know, 7 or 8 or 10 dust storms in a year.
Jason Neff is a geological sciences professor at CU Boulder. A study he co-authored with Janice Brani found that the amount of dust in the air across the West has risen dramatically in the past 17 years.
What we saw is this huge increase, 400 or 500%, along the western slope of the Rocky Mountains, particularly, well, over Colorado and in, up into Wyoming.
He says that increase is partly due to severe drought plaguing the West, but also stems from complex and interwoven land uses, things like oil and gas extraction, housing development, livestock grazing, and even the use of ATVs. When you combine those factors with drought and the right wind conditions, you get much more dust in the air. Neff says that depending on your perspective, more dust can actually be a good thing. When soils erode and take to the air, they deprive areas of nutrients, but those nutrients wind up nourishing other areas like mountainous alpine forests. But that benefit still walks a fine line.
You know, there are possibilities that if you have too much deposition of nutrients and dust or other things, then you really start changing ecosystems in ways that you might not like.
Above all else, Neff says more dust poses a threat to water supplies. When dust lands in the mountains, it makes the snow darker, which causes it to melt sooner.
And what that means is that the rivers come up faster. And, you know, here in the western U.S. and in a lot of arid regions, what you're hoping is that the snow stays in the mountains longer, because all of us in the cities and all the folks doing agriculture out in the west need that water later in the summer.
Neff cautions that Saharan dust storms aren't really affected by human activity like those in the American West, but says both could be signs of a more global trend.
So the scientists debate this a little bit, but there is evidence that overall, globally, dust is increasing. Certainly in deserts that are impacted by humans, and agricultural regions as well, like the Eastern Plains. But in general, we're seeing more dust simply because we have more people and more land is being converted either to, you know, globally grazing land or to agricultural land.
As Colorado's growing population and drought conditions continue to put stress on water supplies, studying dust activity may help us better understand how to adapt.
This is one of those things looking forward that we're going to have to pay attention to as we figure out how to manage water resources in the West.
That report was for IC Change, a crowdsourced reporting project with KVNF that draws on community observations about seasonal shifts in the weather. Have you seen changes this week? Share your observations at thealmanac.org. And that's it for the local newscast this morning. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Travis Bubinick.